Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at medical marijuana or medical cannabis, which uses the cannabis plant or chemicals in it to treat symptoms or condition. According to the World Health Organization, several studies show the therapeutic effects of cannabinoid for a variety of medical conditions, including nausea and vomiting in the advanced stages of illnesses such as cancer and AIDS. WHO says possible side effects of medical marijuana may include lung inflammation and potential for addiction. Medicinal cannabis is legal in some countries and remains illegal in others. Eswatini is joining many of its African neighbors in legalizing cannabis for medical purposes, revising a colonial drug law dating back a century. Nukukanya Musi reports.
Eswatini's government, led by King Mswati III, has introduced legislation that would legalize cannabis, joining other African nations that now encourage the development for medical purposes. Government spokesperson Alpheus Nxumalo believes that legalizing cannabis will help limit the black markets, increase tax revenue, and empower Eswatini farmers.
The legislation will provide measures to guard against increasing the black market, as it were. This has robbed government taxes. This has robbed Maswati an opportunity to grow their economy. And this, of course, have also robbed even the farmers themselves, who have been trying to earn a living using this cannabis. So we do look forward to the unbanning of the cannabis plant as an opportunity to develop the country, to develop our economy and to empower Maswati themselves.
US-based company Profile Solutions is the only authorized cannabis grower in the small Southern African country. Eswatini is working toward changing provisions of a 1922 statute enacted by the British who ruled the nation formerly known as Swaziland from 1903 until 1968. Dr. T.S. Lauren is an occupational medical practitioner from South Africa who works for Occupational Health Eswatini. He argues that legalizing cannabis could have major benefits for healthcare, society, and the economy. His position aligns with the Eswatini government on the issue.
Today I stand before you as a medical advocate, urging for the transformative change of the Eswatini healthcare landscape towards a healthier, wealthier, and more sustainable Eswatini, and why it is not just a medical decision, but a holistic solution for our patients, community, and economy.
Inati Lamini from Business Eswatini sees medical cannabis as an avenue Eswatini can use to capitalize on the global cannabis market to create jobs and spur economic growth, encouraged by the government support for the industry.
Many countries are already well ahead in this regard in terms of developing industries for their own countries in order to support investment and create jobs, which, by the way, we desperately need in this country. As Business Eswatini, we are very, very thankful that from the highest authorities of the land now, we are beginning to be one-minded on this.
The cannabis trade has given many people in a small economy with few job opportunities a substantial income for decades, and a few local merchants are not fearful that this could be undermined by the new bill. Cannabis merchant Makawe Tsabetse says he has earned a living from the illegal trade for the last 20 years to put his children through school.
The decriminalization of cannabis will help a lot and will perhaps stop police from raiding and confiscating our product, which we make a living from selling. Rain or sunshine, we make sure we put bread on the table so that our children do not go to bed on empty stomachs. Since there are no jobs, we are living from selling cannabis on the street.
The bill needs to win 3/4 approval in the House of Assembly and Senate to become law. Nokukhanya Musi, Manzini, Eswatini.
We asked some people on the streets of Abuja, Nigeria, their thoughts on the legalization of marijuana. Take a listen.
I don't think actually it would be good to legalize cannabis like here in Nigeria. People will abuse the drugs. You understand? Because here we are in a country of where we have youths who want to like try things just to like cruise. You hear the things like cruise, and people want to like try drugs just for the fun, not for the medical purposes. Like that, I think legalizing it here will actually do more harm than good.
Well, if it's favorable because of the medical purpose, I think it should be legalized in Nigeria.
I don't think it's a good idea because it's very harmful. Even our brothers and sisters, we have a lot of them taking it, and it's getting them to do unnecessary things, like some of them are mad on the streets, talking to themselves and the rest.
My own opinion is that I think it is possible. I think you can actually find out things that can help people in cannabis, and I think that that is one of the reasons people would push for it to be legalized. If we have like a serious issue about like people abusing it, we can find alternatives like codeine or cough syrup. People said it could be easily abused, and we found alternatives for it.
I don't think it's necessary because it's not legalized yet, and it's already everywhere, and they are abusing it already. So legalizing it here in Nigeria, that means you are giving the youth go ahead, like go crazy. When codeine came because of cough and other stuff. How did it turn out? They had to like ban it. Now it's not everywhere, but it's good. But they had to ban it because we abuse it.
Nana Kwaku Achema is president of the Hampire Association of Ghana. He discusses the advocacy for the recognition of medical cannabis in Ghana.
I think medicinally, we've discovered now that it's been revealed now that cannabis is very good in dealing with a number of ailments. It deals with all the cancers, the prostates, breast, throat cancer, and the like. It's also good for epilepsy. It's great for autism as well, PTSD, Parkinson's disease. So, you know, it has a high efficacy rate when dealing with these ailments. And this is probably the first reason why cannabis should be legalized here in Ghana, because we have a lot of people who are suffering. They're taking opioids, and we know that opioids don't deal with the problems at all. It could lead to addiction, which it does. Many patients are addicted to opioids. It is something that absorbs carbon dioxide. And that is very important when you look at the fact that there's a lot of discussion going on now about reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Our climate is perfect for the cultivation of cannabis. And so in other countries where they've already established the industry, one of the things that is not going very well for them is the high costs of the cultivation, because they do not have the climate that Ghana benefits from. So, you know, everything is clustered in greenhouses. And of course, that comes with its own costs. You know, costs for dehumidifiers, costs for, you know, lights that have got to be on 24/7, and various other costs as well. There are rumors, if you like, about that are based around, you know, the use of recreational cannabis leading to psychosis. And we all know that talk is really all about correlation and not about causation. Well, the Hempire Association of Ghana is an advocacy body. It's a non-governmental organization body. And basically, we've been set up to provide the education that people need to really understand what cannabis is all about.
That was Nana Kwaku Akemang, president of the Hempire Association of Ghana, speaking to us from Accra. According to research published by the U.S. National Institute of Health, acute effects of cannabis may vary between light and heavy users and can include feelings of intoxication, euphoria, and altered sensory perception. Namibia In Namibia, marijuana trade is illegal and punishment can include a fine and imprisonment. But some who suffer from a medical condition want the government to decriminalize the use of marijuana or cannabis, citing studies that have shown its possible benefits. Vitalio Angula has this report from Schwakopmund, Namibia.
Reina Kring suffers from a debilitating motor neuron disease, a condition that damages parts of the nervous system, limiting his ability to move around and speak. Kring's condition is a result of a sports injury. Now in his 60s, Kring moves around with the use of a stroller and has speech impairment, making it hard to express himself. Cheryl Green is a Swakopmund-based herbalist who grows various plants in her backyard garden. 4 years ago, she was arrested for dealing in marijuana. She was found guilty of illegally possessing cannabis oil, which she says was used to treat her partner's condition. Green says although she had a very bad experience with her arrest and trial, she continues to advocate for the benefits of medicinal marijuana, calling on the government to change laws that prohibit its use.
Cannabis is phenomenal. All kinds of diseases. Like everything you can think of, I'm trying to think of something it doesn't heal. I don't think there is anything. It's a fantastic, fantastic herb. And yeah, I'm not happy that I can't grow it and use it. I could have helped thousands of people already.
On the possible decriminalization of medicinal marijuana, the government says it is considering the matter, but has cited the abuse of marijuana and other drugs in the country as a reason why the herb should remain illegal. Although there are people who use marijuana for recreational purposes, others like Kring say they use it to alleviate symptoms of ailments such as motor neuron disease.
I had to stop working a couple of years back because of the disability. So, medical purposes, absolutely yes.
Richard Metcalfe, a human rights lawyer, represented Green during her trial. He says Namibia lags behind other progressive African countries, such as South Africa, that have decriminalized the use of cannabis.
No, I just think that it's time that we start needing to keep pace with developments in the rest of the world, and that we utilize products which we're able to grow and grow naturally, and they're not pharmaceutical products, that we utilize them, and we utilize the knowledge that Africans specifically have.
Namibia's Prime Minister, Sara Kuhongerwa Amadila, who led the task force to investigate the medical benefits associated with marijuana, told VOA that the cabinet considered the request for decriminalizing marijuana on the basis of presumed benefits. However, the cabinet chose not to. Human rights lawyer Metcalfe says the law can only be changed by parliament. Vitalio Angula, VOA News, Swakopmund, Namibia.
Dr. Mwenga Chokwe is a psychiatrist and a mental health consultant in Nairobi, Kenya. He discusses some health benefits and challenges of medical marijuana.
The issue of marijuana and or cannabis is as old as the history itself, or as man himself. Cannabis had been used a long time freely in the villages and so on. But later on, it was prohibited, it became a prohibited drug, and that made the complication that it was now not possible for you to study it medically or clinically or scientifically. There's an aspect that brings psychosis, but there's an aspect which is harmless. It's called a cannabinoid. And they have discovered that there is, in fact, a system within the human body with the sensors for cannabinoid kind of reagents, especially in the body. It's very good for chronic diseases, chronic disorders, things like rheumatoid arthritis, even fits. There's some children who have responded very well on that for fits. If one takes one with that THC, obviously there's the psychosis. But if you take the medical cannabino, it's rare to get side effects, although sometimes you may develop a situation where you when there is excessive vomiting, hyperemesis, and that can cause the dehydration and renal function, those are the effects. It can also affect your memory and your time reaction in case of any emergency. Generally, the cannabinoids so far, they have been reported to be fairly safe. In Africa and in Kenya, marijuana is illegal in any form. So unless the government comes and changes that, then it will be difficult for us to investigate and to do research. So this is the challenge that we have, especially in Africa. But Europe, I think they are way ahead, and they have gone on and produced capsules for marijuana, liquids. They have produced sprays you can spray. They even have patches you can put on your skin. So they are actually moving fast, and I think it's a question of time.
That was Dr. Muinga Chokwe, psychiatrist and a mental health consultant in Nairobi, Kenya. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. Namibia's Ministry of Health and Social Services has received $7 million from the central government's treasury to procure single-dose HPV vaccines for girls between the ages of 9 and 14. The vaccine is a preventative measure to lessen the cervical cancer disease burden amongst Namibian women. Vitalio Angula, VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
Namibia has a population of about 1 million women aged 15 years and older who are at risk of developing cervical cancer. Each year, about 375 women in Namibia are diagnosed with the disease, but the fatality rate is over 50%. The human papillomavirus vaccine, known as HPV, has been proven to greatly lessen the chance of getting cervical cancer. Ben Nagombe, executive director at the Namibia's Ministry of Health and Social Services, says health workers will begin vaccinating about 183,000 girls between the ages of 9 and 14 next month. He says the ministry has been allocated $7 million to procure single-dose vaccines for this purpose. Mehafo Amunyela works at the Be Free Youth Program in the capital's Katutura Township. The youth center runs a variety of programs for young people in underserved communities. Speaking in her personal capacity, Amunyela told VOA that vaccine hesitancy can be a hurdle to fully immunizing the target population. She hopes, however, that through awareness campaigns, children and their families can be educated about the advantages of getting the vaccine.
We saw the reaction of the public towards the COVID vaccine when it came out. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves and remember that the reason we don't have illnesses like polio is because of vaccines. But they worked then and they still do now.
The Cancer Association of Namibia says the vast distances between most towns and villages in Namibia could present another logistical challenge in the immunization program. The association says to achieve the target of immunizing 183,000 girls, awareness campaigns should be undertaken in the different indigenous languages spoken in the country. Kuchi Shirange is the association's spokesperson.
We have always been excited from the day we heard that the vaccines will be rolled out to the girl child in Namibia, because this has always been a campaign that we have raised and education that we have raised everywhere on our outreach programs when we are educating people in terms of cervical cancer elimination. We would always include HPV education and also knowledge so that the people understand.
With the rollout of the HPV vaccine, Namibia is on the path of meeting the World Health Organization's goal of vaccinating 90% of girls worldwide by 2030, with the long-term goal of eliminating cervical cancer within the next century. Although cervical cancer is preventable and curable, the disease claimed 350,000 lives in 2022, according to the World Health Organization. Vitalio Angula, Windhoek, Namibia.
In Washington, D.C.'s economically disadvantaged Ward 8 neighborhood, Breast Care for Washington is making mammograms more accessible. With a mobile mammography unit, they aim to boost breast exam rates among black women in a city where breast cancer death rates are among the highest. More from former PBS NewsHour correspondent Yamiche Alcindor.
Michelle Hawkins and her daughter Mercedes had one thing on their minds, mammograms.
No new breast issues?
None.
Awesome.
The pandemic meant annual appointments had been delayed. For Mercedes, it was her first screening at age 41.
I'm excited, a little anxious, but okay.
They were at Breast Care for Washington. It's a clinic in the heart of Ward 8, an economically disadvantaged part of Washington, D.C., where 93% of residents are black.
We ready to ride now.
Across town, Bernard Fuller was behind the wheel of a mobile mammography unit. It's another way Breast Care for Washington is trying to boost the number of women getting breast exams. The big bus maneuvers around the nation's capital, a city where breast cancer death rates for black women are among the very highest in the country. 34.3 per 100,000 people. On this day, the bus set up in the parking lot of the former Providence Hospital in Northeast Washington. Black women face a triple threat. They have higher mortality rates, they get breast cancer at younger ages, and have a more aggressive form of the disease. The reasons why aren't totally clear, so early diagnosis is key. Mobile units like this one are a very valuable tool to the medical community. They often help reach women in medically underserved areas. And in the middle of a pandemic, they could help catch up on the backlog of patients who have skipped their screenings. And as 76-year-old Joyce Terry knows, a year can make all the difference.
3 years ago, I lost my sister, who was my best friend, and she and I always did our tests together. My sister's exam came back okay as mine. During the time that it was to have it done again, she had developed inflammatory breast cancer in the fourth stage. It shows up when it wants to. You know, there's no timeline or no time frame that say you're safe from 1 year to the other.
No, ma'am.
Even without delaying a mammogram appointment, there can be dire consequences, especially if a cancer is fast growing.
We as African-American women get a different type of breast cancer. It's known as a triple negative breast cancer.
Regina Hampton is a surgeon and co-founder of Breast Care for Washington.
It's not a hormone responsive breast cancer. Those who have a hormone responsive cancer can get a hormone type of treatment that they'll be on for 5 years that helps to decrease their risk of developing another breast cancer. When you have a triple negative breast cancer, you're going to get your treatment, could be surgery with chemotherapy, could be radiation, but then there's no type of triple negative pill that we can put people on to help keep that cancer away.
There was no pill for Donna Hayes. She was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer last May. She was just 32 years old. Black women are also more likely to develop breast cancer at a younger age.
So I started off with a lump in my chest. Like anybody else, I ignored it, didn't think. I'm like, I'm 32, there's no way that this is cancer. My doctor told me you're too young for it to be cancer, so more likely it's a cyst. So I refer you to ultrasound. So we got the ultrasound. The technician didn't like what they saw, so they referred me to get a biopsy. The biopsy confirmed that it was cancerous. When I got the first diagnosis, I was scared. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to leave my kids and my husband and stuff. Like, I was just scared.
Her slight delay in seeking treatment was in part because of the pandemic and in part because of fear and responsibility.
As the black culture in the whole, we're scared of doctors. You're scared of bad news. You don't want bad news because you don't know how to handle bad news. So you tend to not go to the doctors. You tend to not go to the dentist. You tend to put things on the back burner, especially black mothers, because they're caring more so for their kids or the household. So it's like, I can't afford to be sick. I got to make sure everything is straight. So you tend to forget about yourself.
Hampton says those feelings are common among Black women.
Many of them are single head of household, primary caregivers, maybe working a couple different jobs. And so their health is just not at the top of the list. They'll put their children first, their parents first. They'll put everyone else first. But as women, and probably you and I are testament to, we put everybody first.
Over the past year, Hayes juggled raising four kids with courses of chemo, a double mastectomy, and radiation.
Tell me a little bit about the initial doctor saying, you're too young for cancer, it's probably a cyst. When you think about that now, was that helpful or do you find that to be problematic?
If you're telling your doctor something's wrong, they should automatically just assume you know your body, so they should just help you out. I mean, they shouldn't tell you like, hey, you're too young, this can't happen to you, because clearly it can happen to you.
Depending on a woman's family history and risk, current guidelines say all women should start mammograms between the ages of 40 and 50. But Hampton thinks for Black women, exams should begin earlier.
Black women are just at the bottom of the chain when, you know, we really need to have guidelines that really allow those of us who work in disparate communities to be able to make the decision that meets the need of our community, which may be different in my community than it is in, you know, in Des Moines, Iowa.
All right, so you're going to take this hand, hold on here.
Mother and daughter, Michelle and Mercedes Hawkins, showed us just how easy a mammogram is. This is the only 3D mammogram technology in this part of the city.
Painless Pam, that's what I hear.
And as insured patients, Mercedes and her mom can help fund screenings for women who don't have insurance.
Okay. Bringing my daughter here today, I thought was a good thing for us to do this together.
I didn't have any pain. It was painless, actually. I've heard, you know, nightmare stories about being lifted off the ground and being pressed so hard and, you know, the lack of empathy from the person providing the service. And, I mean, she was great. She was very informative while I got it, and she made me super comfortable. I'm a
survivor. Donna Hayes recently celebrated her last radiation treatment. What got her through the last year? Her supportive partner, who shaved his head in solidarity. Her dog, Cinnamon, who kept her moving. Her kids, and a social media following she built up.
I felt like, especially being young and Black and a female, that it makes it easier to see someone else that looks like you go through and gives you hope. Like, okay, well, if this is going to happen to me, then I can too beat it. Mm-hmm. People don't believe it, but like, it makes me smile to see that little old me can motivate you to care about yourself more.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linoch Mudu in Washington, with producer Mukbilia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.